Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. It's Thursday, it's the 6th of November, and we're brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial, 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBS Sports and use offer code FUN. I'm Dave Richard, I'm joined by Jamie Eisenberg. Those of you who have been with us for a long time are familiar with our hijinks and exploits, but maybe this is the first time you're listening to the Fantasy Football Today podcast, and welcome. Every Thursday and Friday, we break down every single game. We'll do it with the AFC first and then the NFC on Friday, excluding the Thursday game, which we've already talked about. Jamie's here. Say hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
You didn't have to say the Jamie part. You could have just said hi, but it'll do. What's in the news around the NFL before we get into these games?
Well, the early morning news of Thursday is that Tony Romo practiced on a limited basis in London, so sounds as if he's getting closer to playing, which is a great sign. Romo said they're just going to take it day by day. So hopefully he's ready to go Sunday.
We'll talk about that game a little later on.
Sounds like it'll be a game-time decision. Mm-hmm. Giovanni Bernard will not play in tonight's game. That was expected. On Wednesday, Fred Jackson was actually back at practice. So he got in a limited session, and we'll find out what his status is. I would imagine he is a game-time decision as well.
And he would be a sight for sore eyes because it's really bad out there at running back this week.
Yeah, I don't know how much people would feel comfortable starting him coming off of his injury.
Right.
At less than 100%. Coming back
earlier.
And it's
a tough matchup, too.
And it's a tough matchup. So he'd be in the flex conversation for people, certainly in deeper leagues. Arian Foster, who's not playing this week, says he plans to play in week 11, so that's a great thing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he rests up his injured groin as well. I'm a little skeptical that he will be back, but I like that he's positive.
And I like the idea. A lot of people picked up Alfred Blue.
As they should.
Just keep him.
Yep.
Keep him on your team. He's just like Nile Davis at this point. Maybe not quite as effective and explosive,
sure,
but still, Arian could go down with an injury, and then you've got the Texans running back.
Monte Ball returned to practice, so he is expecting to be the backup to Ronnie Hillman if he returns, but he did lose weight in the time that he was gone. He lost 12 pounds. So that's going to make him a little bit more elusive, which will help his game a little bit. Going back to the Texans, they have a new quarterback when they replay in week 11. Ryan Mallett will be their starter.
Getting a lot of questions about him. Real quick, what do you think he'll do in Houston? He's got some tough matchups when he comes back off the bye.
Well, I mean, clearly he's got a stronger arm than the helium balloon, and that will help, hopefully, DeAndre Hopkins and Andre Johnson. Obviously, Andre Johnson needs the help because DeAndre Hopkins has been playing very well. So it can't hurt. You know, I mean, the one thing you worry about is at least Fitzpatrick's a veteran guy that knows how to get the ball to his playmakers, which we've seen from Hopkins. Maybe Mallett helps Andre Johnson get better.
It's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out because everything's up for grabs now in that offense.
Yep. It seems like most of the news of this week is more for Week 11 than it is for Week 10 because Adrian Peterson, we know about his situation, the plea deal, all that stuff. His attorney says, and he's now, you know, going to be the mouthpiece, it sounds like, Rusty Harden for Adrian Peterson to get him back on the field. He made a claim yesterday that he hopes the Vikings have this all settled and the NFL has this all settled that Peterson can play in Week 11. So if he's still out there on waivers, for whatever reason, you need to pick him up because it sounds as if it's going to be close that he's going to be back on the field. Sammy Watkins hurt his groin. Sounds like he'll be able to play this week.
Yeah.
But just keep an eye on that.
Tough matchup for him, too.
Yeah, but you got to start him if he's out there. And then just the unfortunate news of Marcus Lattimore retiring. Never get his knee situation right, and hopefully his rest of life is good, but his NFL life is over.
You know what I'm going to do? I plan on playing for the fantasy championship in several of my leagues. I know you are too. It's just what we do. I'm going to drop somebody who I know I won't start right before game time and pick up Marcus Lattimore because I wanted that guy to be on my fantasy teams, and I thought he would win people fantasy leagues when he was playing in college. So kind of like a symbolic gesture. I've done it with Tebow. Maybe I'll do it with Tebow again. But Marcus Lattimore will be on my championship teams because I like him so much. All right, that's the news brought to you by Squarespace. Let's get into some of these AFC home games. There will be some NFC teams covered, of course, including a matchup across the pond. But we're going to start in Baltimore, where the Titans are going to come off the bye. Zach Mettenberger will make his second NFL start against the Baltimore Ravens, whose secondary is just a total mess right now. the Titans offense really doesn't offer any slam dunk starts. There's guys that we can debate. I like Delanie Walker. I know you're not a big fan of Delanie Walker. I don't think either one of us want to touch a running back for the Titans. If you had to start one Titans player, who would it be?
Oh, I'm starting Justin Hunter in several leagues. He's top 20 receiver for me this week. Like the opportunity of him going against the Jimmy Smith less secondary.
It's a lot more than just Jimmy Smith not there. There's a lot of guys
sure.
out there.
Webb's not going to play, right?
I'm not sure if Webb's going to play or not. They could use him. I mean, I don't believe he was on the injury report. What okay. do you think?
I'm not sure. I'll look. Okay. But, yeah, I think you look at big play receiver has the opportunity to, you know, got 10 targets last game with Mettenberger. I think he has an opportunity here to play well. Kendall Wright's just, you know, is underneath routes, or that's what they are. He's not going to stretch the field. Maybe Nate Washington has a play or two, but you can't count on him.
Webb, I expect Webb to play at this point. Look up something and let me know what you find on him, if you find anything at all. But mm-hmm. they cut two cornerbacks after their game against Pittsburgh. They really made a statement there. And they're going to start journeyman Danny Gore at one cornerback spot. So you've got to imagine that Tennessee's going to take shots. So Justin Hunter does make sense.
Yeah, Webb is not on the injury report.
Yeah. To me, Hunter does make sense as a number two wide receiver. I like him the best. I'll let you have a moment on Delanie Walker. First, let me tell you what I think. I think that, yes, Baltimore's been great against tight ends all year. I don't think they've taken on a lot of quality ones.
I beg to differ.
I would consider they haven't taken on a lot of them. I think it's whether or not Heath Miller is considered a quality tight end.
He's as good as Walker.
I think Walker's better. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say Walker's better.
I'm going to disagree.
All right. Well, I think just the fact that they're going to pass a lot, and Delanie had 9 targets in the first game from Zach Mettenberger, and the secondary, the way that it is, yeah, I think Delanie Walker can put together at least 8 fantasy points.
Well, their safeties are still there,
and be
right?
helpful. The safeties are still there, but
linebackers still there, right?
Linebackers are still there, but I'm telling you, they like to use Walker just as much as a receiver as they do a blocker and a short area guy. They're going to use him a lot, and I think he could be a sneaky play this week. Not a big play. I don't think he's going to go off and have, you know, 50 yards and a touchdown, which is great for a tight end at this point. But I think he'll be serviceable, so I like him as a top 12 guy.
Okay.
You're not going to – do you have any response? You just think that the track record of the Ravens against tight ends
it's
too good to ignore.
Stands for itself, and the guys that they've shut down are along the same lines of Walker, if not better. I mean, Greg Olsen's better. I think Heath Miller is on par. Jordan Cameron had a miserable day against them. So, you know, he's going to get targets, and he's going to have to deal with some pretty good coverage. So their outside guys are a mess. Their inside guys are still okay. So will they split Walker out on a few plays? Sure. Does that mean he's going to have success? Not necessarily.
Depends on who's covering him, I think, ends up. What if they split him out wide? Now, I'm just pontificating. It doesn't really matter at this point. It's not worth debating, I should say. It would matter if he's out against Danny Gore. I would take that matchup, and I think Mettenberger would too. The Ravens threw a lot last week, and Flacco ended up having a good game because of it. I wonder if they try and get back to the run, specifically because the Titans stink against the run. So where does Justin Forsett stand for you? He's had 9 fantasy points each of the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think he's a very safe start this week. You know, if you have Forsett, you know what you're getting at this point. Lack of touchdowns. Maybe he scores, maybe he doesn't, but it's, you know, you're kind of crossing your fingers and hoping for it. They give up touchdowns to running backs, which is why I think Taliaferro is a good play also.
I think they're both top 20 running backs.
I would agree. Yep.
Steve Smith, Torrey Smith.
I like Steve Smith. The number one receiver against this secondary has been pretty consistently good. And I actually think Torrey Smith has a chance as well. So, you know, you look at Torrey Smith, 3 of his last 4 games, he scored 4 touchdowns over that span. Steve Smith is due for a big game. He's been better at home than he's been on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you get away with both these guys really as number two receivers.
Smith had 1 deep target last week, didn't come up with it. Had 3 the week before. One of them was an 80-yard touchdown. Steve Smith.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steve Smith.
I'm sorry. I should have said Steve Smith. Steve Smith had an 80-yard touchdown called back 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, he didn't even have a deep target. So it's a little hit or miss, but when you talk about great cornerbacks, Jason McCourty's name typically doesn't come up, but he has been great for Tennessee this year. He hasn't allowed a touchdown in his coverage, and the Titans have really benefited from that. I would expect to see Steve Smith go after Bleedy Ray Wilson. That's mm-hmm. the other cornerback in Tennessee. And Torrey Smith could too, but I agree with you. I think Steve Smith is actually a good number two fantasy receiver this week. I would bank on him ahead of Torrey Smith because, like you said, he's due. does get a lot of targets. Hopefully he gets some quality targets and not just a bunch of 12 and 13-yard routes. Does it make Joe Flacco anywhere near a good bye-week replacement quarterback?
If you're stuck, I think you get 17 to 20 points.
Owen Daniels, a top 12 tight end for you.
Yeah.
I agree. I would also put him in there. He's 10th for both of us. So I'm going to ask you, Owen Daniels or Delanie Walker?
Daniels.
What about Owen Daniels or Larry Donnell?
Donnell.
I like Donnell better as well. Ravens defense, Titans defense, either one of these, what's your whistle?
Yeah, the Ravens. I think they'll be able to harass Mettenberger. He was sacked 3 times in his first start. He had a pick. He had a fumble. So he'll turn the ball over. I don't care about the lack of quality cornerbacks there. They will force him into mistakes, and this offensive line will have a little bit of trouble with his defensive front.
I'm having a hard time finding DSTs that I like this week, so they're in my top 12 by default. I actually think the Titans can give them a game and put some points up on them, which I Mettenberger is right up there with me with Flacco as far as a backup fantasy quarterback. I have Flacco one spot ahead, but they're both outside of the top 15.
Yeah, I just worry about the turnovers.
Yeah.
Rookie quarterback, first road start in a hostile environment.
I'm not gonna fight you on that one. I just don't know how much Flacco's going to throw. I really think they try and get the run game going. Let's move on to two teams that do love to run the ball. That's the Chiefs and the Bills. Jamaal Charles, an obvious start. Travis Kelce, pretty much the only other guy in Kansas City that fantasy owners would think about starting at this point. And I think you've got to use him. The matchup against Buffalo, it is what it is, but I don't think that you're looking at Kelce going, I just don't know. You'd have to be loaded at tight end to go with another guy there.
It's workload. He's had 5 games this year with 5 or more targets. In 3 of them, he's gotten either 70 yards or 80 yards or a touchdown. So if the usage is there, the production typically follows. And the last 2 weeks, he's gotten 10 targets. So there's a pretty good opportunity here. If they involve him, he will reward you.
There has only been 2 touchdowns scored by tight ends against the Bills this season. One was by Martellus Bennett. The other was by some guy named Gronkowski in New England. So maybe there is an opportunity for...
Now, they haven't faced a lot of great...
Right. They also have not faced... Well, I mean, they had Gates in week 3, mm-hmm. but Gates really wasn't used in that game. He was more of a decoy than anything else. So I'm with you. I think Kelce is actually a good start and probably the second best guy on Kansas City you can go with behind Jamaal. If Fred Jackson is active, let's say Friday rolls around, he's practiced all week, you can feel good about him. What's the expectation in your mind from him in his first game against a Chiefs defense that hasn't allowed a touchdown this year to a running back? Not to everybody. That would be weird. Just to a running back.
I think he's in the number 2 conversation, you know, just based on where we are with running backs this week. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got 80 total yards.
And so that puts him actually pretty high in my mind with running backs, because I don't know how many of them have 80 total yard potential this week. Let's do the name game. Chris Johnson or Fred Jackson?
Jackson.
Johnson had a pretty good game last week. I'm looking forward to talking about that game a little later on. What about Lorenzo Talaferro or Fred Jackson?
I'd go Talaferro's touchdown potential.
Because he has a chance to score. How many yards are you projecting for Talaferro with
like
the touchdown?
30 or 40, something.
Right, so he could get double digits for you. Juwan Thompson or Fred Jackson?
It depends on Monte Ball.
Oh, you think Ball could go in there and take some work away from Thompson?
If Ball plays, Thompson's not going to see the field.
It's interesting. I don't know if I see it that exact same way. We'll talk about that game later on, too. But I'm with you for the most part on Fred Jackson. I think he can get you 75 to 85 total yards. So pretty much 8 fantasy points in the standard league, probably closer to 12 in a PPR. I just wonder how much they're really going to lean on him in his first game back. And you have to face it, it's going to be unlikely that he finds the end zone against the Chiefs. Sammy Watkins had the groin injury, but I think you've got no choice but to go with him because of his potential, what he's done with Kyle Orton as the quarterback there for the Bills. Is there anything else in Buffalo? Kyle Orton has been hot. A lot of people might look to him as a potential start this week. Scott Chandler, just because Orton's used tight ends. Is there anybody else that you can really look at and say, all right, bye week replacement, get him in there?
No. It's, you know, you're looking at a defense that's just been very good since the first 2 games of the season and against quarterbacks, and that's including Brady, that's including Kaepernick. And, you know, I just don't see Orton having a 20-plus point game. Could he have 19? Sure. It's really contingent on how healthy Sammy Watkins is, because Watkins is expected to be fine, but he pulled up lame in practice with the groin problem. And so if that re-aggravates itself, then he's going to be terrible.
Do we need to do the name game with Sammy Watkins?
No, I think if he plays, you're starting him. I don't know how many people have loaded of a roster that you can get away from the way he's played.
He's a top 15 wide receiver for both of us, but not in the top 12. We've got guys like Mohamed Sanu, A.J. Green, Alshon Jeffrey ahead of him. Behind him, we've got Golden Tate, Brandon Marshall. So he's right in that still near elite type range against the Chiefs. Hopefully that groin injury doesn't keep him out of practice for much longer this week. This game it's an AFC game, but it's being played in London between the Cowboys and the Jaguars. Tony Romo practiced on Thursday. It looks like he's going to play. My expectation, and you can tell me if you're going to go in a different way, I'm worried about him being able to make all the throws.
Yeah, I don't love him this week.
Yeah, he's top 12 by default for me. Like, I don't have the stones to put Mark Sanchez ahead of him. But I think that he's, like, 10th. Like, I think I have him ranked 10th at quarterback. I'm worried that he's going to have a good game, just not a great game.
Yeah, I you know, you're kind of hoping for, like, I don't know what you project him for. I project him for, like, 202.
Right. If he does 202 without any turnovers, that's 20 points.
Right. So, I project to Sanchez for the same thing, and I may switch just because I think Sanchez's ceiling is a little bit higher. I think if you're still a Tony Romo owner, you better have somebody else on your roster just in case he wakes up Sunday and the back's problematic and he doesn't play.
Right.
So,
and it's not one of these early morning games in the U.S.
Right. You know,
it's going to kick off at 1 Eastern.
Yep. So you'll know by 11:30 if he's playing or not. I mean, obviously you'll know, I'm sure, ahead of time. But the reporters are going to be a little bit thinner in London coverage-wise than would be in Dallas. Same beat writers there, but it's not the overwhelming, massive
right.
– coverage that the Cowboys
we'll be able to know.
Sure. In any event, yeah, I think Romo is, you know, depending on who else you have on your roster. I actually cut Tony Romo in a 10-team league.
You did it.
Well, I have Roethlisberger. I have some bye week, you know, concerns, and this is a league where, you know, Eli Manning's on waivers, so
okay.
Nobody's picking Romo up for this week. Nobody's picking him up next week. So, you know, I'll take the chance that somebody else gets him before I need him for Roethlisberger's bye week, and hopefully his back is fine by then. But in the 12-team leagues where I have him, you know, I picked up Sanchez in one just to make sure I had a quarterback. So just cover yourself just in case. I don't like Terrence Williams. I think the downfield throws are going to be the biggest problem for Romo.
Mm-hmm.
But I still
it's going to have to be a red zone touchdown for
yep.
Williams.
And he hasn't got double digits in fantasy points in his last four games. He's gotten a touchdown in that time, but it was a 20-yard catch. So
right.
I just think you get away from him at this point until coming off their bye week. But Dez, you start. Witten, I think, is top 12 by default. I would start him over Delanie Walker by comparison.
I'd easily take Walker out of him because I just don't know if Witten can score.
I understand.
He's 12 by default.
Witten's been better in the
me.
Last month than Walker has, though, as shockingly bad
it
as
is.
That's been.
Yeah.
So I'll take Witten getting going against a Jaguars defense that stinks.
I don't think they stink as bad. I know they're not the best.
They're banged up, too. You know, you want to talk about Baltimore's defense being banged up.
Yeah, sure. Jacksonville's got it.
We saw Jacksonville's injuries last week sort of rear their head a little bit against Cincinnati. So I think Dallas can do what they want to do with Romo under center, which is get DeMarco Murray back on track and, you know, Witten and Dez doing their thing.
I especially like for Romo that the offensive line's healthy. Doug Free's back. Ronald Leary's back. That's a good starting five for him. That's really what they need to get Romo to feel confident
sure.
about Romo this week. So I'm with you pretty much the rest of the way. I love Denard Robinson this week against Dallas.
Yep.
Their defense is falling apart, and it's happening up front for them. Tyrone Crawford, who's been a really great addition for them, he sprained his knee. He's out for a while. Rolando McClain is a knee injury. I don't know if he practiced on Thursday.
No. Oh, Thursday night. No.
I know he didn't practice on Wednesday. I would be surprised if he played. And that means another starting linebacker is down. His backup is a rookie. And then another defensive lineman, Nick Hayden, with a shoulder injury. I don't know if he practiced on Thursday. We'll get those reports, and you can find them on CBSSports.com later on. But Denard Robinson's been red hot, over 100 total yards in three straight games. I think he could take advantage of the Cowboys' defense and put up some good numbers. I like him as a top 12 running back, and clearly you can believe in him now. Blake Bortles, I think, could actually put up some decent numbers, too, against the Dallas secondary, especially if there isn't a fierce pass rush coming at him. There is a little bit of a concern. One of his best offensive linemen, Brandon Linder, banged up, might not play in the game. That's a guard, so maybe some A-gap pressure could hurt him in the game. You're not starting Blake Bortles, but it does impact the receivers. Allen Hurns played just as much as Allen Robinson last week. It looks like he's the other starter at this point, with Cecil Shorts working as the third guy. They all played a lot. But Allen Hurns had a lot of targets, a lot of catches, a lot of deep passes. Dallas hasn't allowed a lot of deep passes this season. They've been kind of more, you know, contain a defense, and then give something up in the red zone. Not a lot of touchdowns to wide receivers on the year either. But I do think there's some potential for Robinson and Hurns if you're in a pinch as top 40 wide receivers. Not anything special, but if you're in a pinch, they could work for you in your lineup. Same thing with Bortles. If you're in a pinch, use him. Otherwise, I think it's a lot of Denard Robinson, maybe a little bit of Toby Gerhardt if he plays. Maybe he can punch one in from short range. Clay Harbor is another desperation Jaguar. Did I say anything out of line? Are you in agreement? Is there anything you want to say about the Jaguars' offense?
I'm not as optimistic on the receivers, but sure, if you're desperate, go ahead.
There's a reminder that today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. The customer support is awesome. The platform is awesome. New features, new designs, better support. Support's there 24/7 to help your website look great. Every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website, so your content will look great on every device every time. Starts at just $8 a month. You paid more to play in your fantasy leagues. It includes a free domain name for your website. If you sign up for a year, you can start a free trial. No credit card required. Build your website today. And when you do it, make sure to use the offer code FUN, F-U-N, to get 10% off and show your support for Fantasy Football Today podcast right here on CBS Sports. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. And now, the matchup we've all been waiting for. Ben Roethlisberger, 6 touchdowns in each of his last 2 games. Will he make it 3 against the New York Jets, who have stunk against opposing passing games this year? Jamie, the world's eyes turn to you. How many touchdowns for Ben Roethlisberger in week 10?
I think 3 is safe.
Not 6?
No.
Not 7?
That'd be great, but no. I think you just look at the Jets, as you said, have been terrible. I believe it's 24 touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks, 1 interception. The fun stat with Roethlisberger is, so 12 touchdowns in his last 2 games. You know what he has in his 4 road games this year?
I think I know the answer. You want me to give it?
Sure.
4.
4 and 4 road games. So
how many of those games did Martavis Bryant play in?
None. All 3 games that Bryant has played in has been at home. So I think Bryant's addition and the fact that the matchup is so good, you start Roethlisberger as a top 5 guy.
The matchup is very, very favorable for him. And it feels like the Steelers can kind of just do whatever they want. But I can't help but think that they're going to try and, like, cater a little bit to Roethlisberger and let him throw. I wonder if it'll cost Bell a rushing touchdown if they get near the goal line in this game.
He doesn't
game.
Score them anyway, so it's not like it's
Yeah, you're right.
You're not counting on him to
score. You're looking for him for yardage anyway.
Yeah, if he scores, which I think he will, but if he scores, you know, however he scores, it's just a bonus because he's a must-start guy no matter what.
I would agree with that. I'm a big fan of Antonio Brown this week, and I think Martavis Bryant, you've got to – look, he's been awesome, and it hasn't just been go route, deep ball, beat your man, touchdown.
Sure.
He's been running some nice routes, and he seems like a pretty – you wouldn't think that he's a rookie based on how he's played.
Yeah, they've done a nice job in, you know, making sure he was ready to go. You know, going into that week 8 game against Houston, and he's been great ever since.
I can't say enough terrible things about this Jets secondary. It's really bad.
Yeah, it's
and I think that the Steelers are going to have a easy time. I think Roethlisberger shouldn't end up having an easy time picking them apart. Heath Miller, Jamie, I know that you love Heath Miller always, well,
yeah,
but especially
I mean,
this week.
You look at this matchup, it doesn't get any better. You know, so I think you see a scenario where he should be able to have his 3rd best game of the season. There's been twice this year where he's had more than 6 targets, and in those 2 games, he's had big performances, the Tampa Bay game and the Indianapolis game. So if they feed him the ball a little bit, which I think they will because of the matchup, I think he will reward fantasy owners. So I think he's top 5 tight end this week.
I've got him 11th, and I don't know if I can really justify it other than saying that Roethlisberger's had some big games and Heath Miller just hasn't necessarily been a part of it. But to be fair, last week he took on the Ravens, and that's a team that does like to take away the tight end. We've already gone back and forth about this with Delanie Walker. Maybe that circumstance is what opened the door. In fact, it's definitely what opened the door because they had so many cornerback issues the Ravens had.
Sure.
That Roethlisberger took advantage. And so maybe he takes advantage of all the secondary issues with the Jets because tight ends have gone off against them, including Travis Kelce last week. I spent time watching Percy Harvin's game from last week, and I loved his ability to get yards after the catch. If you include the yards after the catch they had when he caught passes behind the line of scrimmage, over 70 yards after the catch. Now, they didn't all count because a lot of them were from behind the line, but he's going to be a weapon that you're going to continue to see in this Jets offense, and I like him. I know 2 weeks ago we were like, ah, what's he going to do? He's not getting used very much. It's just a matter of will they continue to force-feed him targets?
Yes.
I think they have to. I think they almost have to because the offense worked last week when they did it.
Well, it all coincides with a few different things changing for them. The quarterback change is one, so they have a guy who's at least capable and understanding what to do back there in Michael Vick. You know, whether he, you know, you could debate the merits of how he reads defenses, that's totally understandable. But at least he's capable of finding one guy and getting him the ball. He's much more accurate than Geno Smith. So that's a big plus. The other thing is they have to justify the trade. So they can't just sit here and say, okay, we acquired you. Yes, it was for next to nothing, but we still brought you into the fold, and we want to see what we have. And so that's the other part of it. And they're going to struggle to run the ball at times like they did last week. This week I don't think they'll struggle to run the ball, so that's the one concern I would have. Mm-hmm. But the defense is just so banged up for Pittsburgh. I think Vick's in play this week. I have no problem using Michael Vick if you need a starter this week because of the defense being so bad.
It wouldn't surprise, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Jets actually were able to put up some points and get things going and keep it fairly close with the Steelers until probably the third quarter when Roethlisberger throws that ninth touchdown of his. But, yeah, Harvin to me, kind of on the fence of a number two receiver. I don't know if he's going to get as many catches as he had last week, but I think he's an extension of the run game.
You got to assume six-plus catches at this point.
Yeah, at least six-plus. And if he can get you better than – all he needs to do is break one for, like, you know, 25 yards or something like that, and his receiving average goes through the roof. And the big catch he had last week was not on a little screen pass. It was a deep ball, went up for it in coverage, came down with it.
He's got a lot to prove, and the Jets have a lot of reason to try and get him going. So,
both Decker and Harvin, for me, are top 25 receivers.
I agree.
What about the running backs for the Jets? Because we saw Chris Johnson. Chris Ivory got off to a pretty slow start. Chris Johnson came in. His first run was for like 21 yards or something like that.
He looked good.
He actually looked good. And that was against a good, tough run defense. Now he's taking on the Steelers. I kind of can't help but think that they're going to lean on him again.
Well, I think they'll give Ivory an opportunity to get going, and I would imagine he does. So it's just a matter of
Ivory's the goal line guy.
How much usage will Chris Ivory get, you know, when he gets his opportunities? Mm-hmm. Because we've seen when Ivory's been going, he's been the guy that they lean on.
Right. And then
the Jets need to get a win. So I don't know how cute they're going to get with, okay, we need to get Chris Johnson involved after he's been upset and all those things. They need to win. They need to feel good about themselves. They need to get a win in their building. They need to quiet some of the noise around them. So Chris Ivory still gives them their best chance to win.
Do they get that win this week?
I doubt it, but, you know, it's not a unwinnable game. I mean, this is still a Steelers team that did lose to Tampa Bay.
In their own building. Right.
You know, so you still have to look at that and say there's flaws in this defense. And when the defense has been exposed, there's only so much Roethlisberger can do.
So I've got Chris Johnson. Never thought I'd have him as high as I have him, but there's six teams on bye. There's a lot of running backs that I don't like this week. I've got him 20th in my rankings at running back. I like him ahead of Juwan Thompson. I like him ahead of Joik Bell. I like him ahead of Frank Gore, who I think is in for a stinker, and we'll talk about that game tomorrow. But I think Chris Johnson will continue to get that workload. I do have Ivory ranked higher because I think he can score on the Steelers. Taking a look at where you have him ranked, you've got Ivory 21st, Chris Johnson 26th. I bet you never thought you'd have Chris Johnson ranked so high. So he's somebody, if you're in a pinch this week at running back, you know, this is a way you can go. You can get Chris Johnson. He might be on waivers. You can definitely trade for him on the dirt cheap.
And he's on waivers.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part he is. But some leagues, deeper leagues, he's out there, and you can get him for nothing in a deal. So if you're desperate at running back, that is a direction that you can go in. I think we talked about everything in this game. Is there a DST you like? I know you've got the Steelers ranked high. I can't trust them.
I think they're still okay just because of the Vic factor.
Yeah, we actually both have them ranked the exact same spot. I thought you had them higher. 13th for both of us. And yes, it is because of the Vic factor. What about the Derek Carr factor for the Denver Broncos when they take on the Raiders in Oakland? Let's not spend a lot of time on the Broncos. Peyton starting, Demaryius is starting, Emmanuel Sanders is starting. Julius Thomas, the numbers haven't been great the last couple of weeks, but what choice do you have? He's got too much potential, and there are still weaknesses in that Raiders secondary that tight ends have not taken advantage of that I think Peyton Manning can look to get Julius Thomas going. It looks like Wes Welker is going to play.
Yep.
How much and what kind of workload he gets, I'm not willing to take the chance on that. I actually cut him in a keeper league that I'm in. He was an 11th round pick. He would have cost a 9th round pick next year.
Oh, he's not playing for the Broncos next year.
I don't know if he's playing, period, next year. But I just there's no way I can use him this week. I had to cut him to pick up a potential keeper in that league. The running backs, Ronnie Hillman's a must-start. Monte Ball, if he's active, you expect him to take over the role that Juwan Thompson had.
I just expect him to be the second guy. I just don't know that they're going to give Thompson work. I don't think there's enough carries.
I don't think they give
offense.
Ball work.
If Ball plays,
unless it's a blowout.
If Ball is active, he's playing.
How much?
He's playing the role that he played last year.
Which was about 10 carries, wasn't it?
I think it was like 10 touches. I don't know if they gave him 10 carries.
Okay.
But, yeah, they're going to give – they're not going to go into the rest of their season having just Ronnie Hillman and Juwan Thompson. They're going to get Monte Ball worked up to be the guy that they hoped he would be. He's not going to get back there because Hillman has taken over this job and done fantastic things with it. So he's the starter. But they want to make sure in case Hillman goes down, they have somebody that's capable. It's not Juwan Thompson. They want to make sure if Hillman starts fumbling again, there's somebody to step in, and it's not Juwan Thompson. So Thompson, yes, he may be the big back guy. He may be the goal line guy, and maybe he does score in a garbage time situation this week. But is he going to be the second guy up if Monte Ball's active? No chance.
Are you starting Monte Ball in any situation this week?
No.
But you're going to look for him in the game and just see what he does and then evaluate after that.
Absolutely.
Would you pick him up off waivers if he was there?
In an open spot, if I have an open spot, yep. And I have him. It's in that league where I cut Romo. I've been sitting on him the entire time, and I'm going to continue to do so just in case.
I've got one open spot. Monte Ball or Adrian Peterson?
Oh, Peterson.
I would also go with Peterson there. Not that I think he's, you know, just on the potential, on the chance he comes back. Raiders run game, Darren McFadden, I'm not touching him. I don't trust him to get a lot of work this week against the Broncos. I think that run defense continues to play well. Derek Carr might back into two touchdowns like he did last week. Let's talk about Michael Rivera, who has stepped up. I believe he's caught 15 of 20 targets the last 2 weeks, had two touchdowns at Seattle last week. At first, I was a little hesitant to go with him, but I think that the Broncos have not been great against tight ends, and I think he could get some opportunities in this game. So I moved him up this morning. He is now a top 10 tight end for me. And I came into this week liking Charles Clay. I actually like Rivera better than Clay now. So if I had to make the choice between those two, I would take Rivera. I know that the Raiders are going to have to throw a lot in this game, and I think there could be some garbage time numbers for him, or perhaps some decent numbers. He's not very fast, not very elusive, just a guy who's catching passes in short range, basically, for Derek Carr. What do you see between Rivera? What do you see in Rivera, and where do you have him ranked with Charles Clay?
I don't like Charles Clay this week, so I like Rivera much better.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, Rivera was a top 10 guy for me all week long, based on the guys who are off and the matchup he has and the situation that he's entering into. And the defense that he's facing. The exterior guys for the Broncos are very good in their secondary. The interior guys and their safeties have been struggling a little bit in coverage. And you saw it sort of rear its ugly head last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as how they played. So Gates 2 weeks ago, two touchdowns. Gronk last week, touchdown. So they've given up production to tight ends. And Rivera's, you know, been heavily involved. And that's kind of where their offense is going right now. There's no slam dunk guy on that offense in their receiving corps. James Jones, just a guy. Andre Holmes has some talent, but he hasn't been able to.
If you had to start one of those,
take off,
would it be
from
Holmes?
Where he was? Yeah, I wouldn't trust James Jones at all. You know, and so now it's kind of Rivera's turn. You know, Carr is leaning on the guy who's helping him the most right now, and you know, now it's gone from Jones to Holmes, now Holmes to Rivera this week. You know, who knows? Maybe it's Bryce Butler steps up and plays well, or Denarius Moore.
Is there anything else from this game? Any other player? Sleeper, something that you want to keep our eye on, whether it's from the Raiders or the Broncos?
Nope.
Pretty much a lock at this point that the Broncos should go in there and have some good numbers. Demaryius Thomas actually does not have a great track record against the Raiders. I know
so
it doesn't even matter. I'm just saying. Jamie, how'd you do in FanDuel last week?
I did very well.
Tell me about it.
I won $75.
It's pretty good. Do you know that I put two lineups out there?
Yeah, you told us on Tuesday.
Oh, I did, and then the lineup that was $175.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
You liking FanDuel so far?
Yeah, it's fun.
Liking it or loving it?
It's fun. I like it.
This Sunday, $3 million tournament, first prize, $500,000, $25 to enter. Kicks off Sunday at 1 o'clock. You've got between now and then to go to FanDuel.com, enter the code CBSWIN, W-I-N, to receive a bonus dollar for dollar up to $200. A match of your first deposit on FanDuel.com. And, you know, we've been playing these one-week leagues. They're a ton of fun. It's a great challenge, and it's the perfect thing for you to do if you're looking at your fantasy team and you're 2-7 and you know you have no chance of winning your league. You just move over to FanDuel and you play for some cash, and you might win enough to pay for your fantasy leagues for the next 5 years. It's crazy. And this tournament that they're doing, I know we're talking about $500,000 for first place. Chances are no one listening to this will be lucky enough to fall into that. But the top 26,000 finishers in this tournament win a prize. So you can at least double your $25 entry fee. And okay, maybe $25 is too much. They've got tournaments starting at $1. They've got 50-50 games where if you finish in the top half, you double your money. It's a fun site. It's a great way to keep playing fantasy football. Just go to FanDuel.com, hit the microphone in the upper right corner, enter the code CBSWIN. Jamie, I said we were going to do all AFC games. We're done with all the AFC games.
Cool.
But we've got one more to do.
Okay.
And it's an NFC game, but it's with a team that used to be in the AFC. It's the Giants against the Seahawks. And Seattle's getting healthy for this game. Their offensive line, they're going to get Max Unger back at center. Looks like Russell Okung is going to be back at left tackle, so I think that they're going to be pretty healthy there.
So they'll play one quarter and then get hurt again?
I hope not. That might be Okung, but I think Unger can be all right. I think it's going to help Russell Wilson, who really hasn't been great the past couple of weeks. But he's catching the Giants right now. Their secondary just lost Prince Amukamara for the season. They've allowed 9 passing touchdowns the last 3 games. I know we said last week was the bounce back game for Russell Wilson. I feel like this is the week where we can really count on him.
I hope so, but he's had chances with good matchups in the last month, and he's done it one time.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are the Giants starting to crumble against the pass, but they're crumbling against the run. And so in their building, where who knows how effective the Giants' offense will be, I think Wilson is worth the gamble because of the bye weeks to start, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. Like, it should be. Like, most quarterbacks against this defense, you would say, oh, my God, I can't wait for this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a different cat, you know, and he's starting to look like the Russell Wilson from 2012 and 2013, where you don't know what you're going to get anymore. You know, because early in the season, it was, well, you know, he's playing well. He's, you know, using his targets. He's running. He hasn't run very much since the Rams game the last 2 games.
Right.
And if he's not getting you the multiple touchdowns, which he's missed, you know, he missed it in the Carolina game on the Marshawn Lynch interception, which would have put him over 20. And then last week he just didn't have to throw very much.
He was terrible when he did throw.
Exactly.
He threw 35 times. He had a season low in passing yards and completion percentage. I'm hoping he bounces back.
I hope so too. Doug Baldwin has to play, and right now he's banged up. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't have Doug Baldwin, is that a huge loss for him? Probably not, just the way he gets other guys involved. But still, you know, now you're stripping away. He's already down Percy Harvin. Now you're stripping away Doug Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
did Baldwin even practice on Wednesday?
No. So Pete Carroll said it doesn't sound like he's going to play. Baldwin said he's definitely going to play. So it depends on who you're asking. But they could beat the Giants without Doug Baldwin.
They can beat them, but it could be a little tight. Yeah, if Doug Baldwin doesn't play, then I'm not loving Russell Wilson as much as I do. I've got him 8th among quarterbacks because I do think he has a chance to bounce back against in what is a favorable matchup at home. And, again, the offensive line will make a huge difference for him. And yeah, it should make a huge difference for Marshawn.
Well, Marshawn, I think, is going to go nuts again.
Yeah,
you know, that's,
I agree.
That's a given. And that's the concern with Russell Wilson is that they just pound their running game and cover up some of the holes in their defense still and just get this win and get back into the conversation as one of the main contenders in the NFC.
There isn't a receiver that we can really look at and say, all right, if Doug Baldwin's out, this is a guy that could end up doing. I mean, Kurse, Jermaine Kurse might be
okay.
That guy.
You know, maybe Richardson or Lockett step up.
I'd rather go with the Jaguars guys.
Yeah. I mean, none of them are appealing.
It's a bye week. There's 6 teams on bye. I'm without Brandon LaFell in one of my leagues.
Sure.
I need to find
yeah, I
somebody.
Mean, you know, there are owners who are starting Baldwin. So, yes, I would say you're looking for something else. Yeah, you can gamble on one of those other guys. Sure.
It could Kurse even be a FanDuel, deep desperation
yeah.
dive
sure.
type guy?
Sure. I mean, look, you got a banged up Dominic Rodgers-Camardi and Noah Mukamara. So they're down now 3 cornerbacks from where they were to start the season.
Yeah. All right, so for that Giants offense, I think they dodged a bullet with Weston Richburg. It looks like he's day-to-day, should play in the game. Eli's got a weird track record against him. He's played him twice in the last 3 seasons. This will be the 3rd time in 4 seasons that he's taken on the Seahawks. Back in 2011, 420 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Crazy game. Seattle went in there and beat him. Last year, 5 interceptions, no touchdowns against them. So I think Eli, 8 touchdowns in his last 2 against the Seahawks in their relatively recent games. I'm a little worried that they might have Eli's number. Tack on the
eight
fact that they're at home. 8 interceptions.
Oh,
did I say touchdowns?
Yeah.
Then I would be saying to start Eli Manning. I'm not starting Eli this week. I don't think he's a good start, and I think it's a tough matchup for him.
I think they're going to be chasing points. I think he's going to press a little bit because their defense is starting to crumble. They can't run the ball, so they're going to be one-dimensional against a team that does very well against one-dimensional opponents. And so you just have to wonder how he'll hold up in that environment. And like you said, last year he really was terrible against this defense. Now this defense is not the same.
They're getting healthy, though. Cam Chancellor's going to play,
and their cornerbacks are back. Right. So it's just one of those situations. Now Eli's done a very good job of not turning the ball over. He's got 1 interception. Really, I think in the last 4 or 5 games, and it was off the Reuben Randall, you know, ball popped out of his hands and gets picked. Otherwise, Eli Manning scores another touchdown in that game against the Redskins. So, you know, you got to like that he's not, you know, forcing things in that regard. And the fact that Odell Beckham's playing well is key. But, yeah, I just don't know what you're hoping for. I think that I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle just blasts them. You know, the spread, I think, is 9.5, and I think Seattle actually covers.
Yeah. Are we done with Reuben Randall at this point?
You have to be. I mean, the targets have been there. You know, you can't say he's not being used. 11 targets last week. He gets you 4
from
49.
He's been sloppy. He's been so sloppy.
Yeah. You know, I just wonder at this point how much Eli Manning trusts him. You know, I think Larry Donnell's a good play.
I do, too.
I think Odell Beckham gets yards. I don't think he scores.
Right.
So I think he has, you know, a decent game like last week. So Eli will get his numbers from his guys. It's just a matter of how well they'll do for him. But Donnell, you know, steps into a situation. You know, Seattle's actually allowed 2 touchdowns. 2 tight ends in each of their last 3 home games.
Yeah.
So 2 touchdowns apiece to the opposing tight end, whether it's one guy catching 2, I forget who it was.
Well, Rivera just did it last week.
I'm sorry, you're right. Rivera did it last week. The Cowboys had the 2 guys score.
Right.
And the other one was, I forget. Somebody went in there and their tight ends, 2 of them scored.
Mm-hmm.
Can't understand why I'm not thinking. Anyway.
You want me to look it up? Would that make you feel better if I told you?
Sure.
Okay.
But yeah, I think you look at Donnell in every game that there's been 2 receivers, not 3 receivers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there was that 2-game stretch where it was Cruz and Beckham and Randall. He was terrible. In the other games, he was very consistent. The targets have been there. The production's been there.
I'll give you a code. I'll say one word, and that'll tell you. Omaha.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Tammy, Julius Thomas.
Right.
And then Antonio Gates had 3 touchdowns against him, but that was in San Diego.
Right.
It wasn't in Seattle. So, yeah, interesting note there. That's a good one. And I think Donnell is a good start. I think if you're desperate for a running back in a PPR league, Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, he should
had
be okay.
5 catches, 50 yards. It's going to be that passing downs back. And the more that Andre Williams stinks, the more Peyton Hillis is going to play.
Well, sure. Pass protection is going to be big, and I don't know how much they trust Andre Williams in pass protection. So they'll trot Williams out there, and hopefully he does, you know, something carrying the ball. He will have the goal line opportunities, at least early in the game. But
big week for the Seahawks DST?
It should be.
I would take a chance on them this week as well. I think you're right. This could be a real letdown game for the Giants, who seem to be in a serious, serious tailspin. Jamie, we're going to be back tomorrow for Friday's podcast. We'll go through 7 more games. They'll all have NFC home teams. We won't cover the Giants-Seahawks game again. Good luck to everybody who is setting a lineup with Thursday games. We'll talk about that Browns-Bengals game and what happens in there. There should be some fun topics stemming from that one. And that'll put a wrap on it for us. Jamie Eisenberg, thank you very much. I'm Dave Richard. This has been the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Thanks for coming out.
Bye.